CountryHomeCenter.net. Your new kitchen or bath begins and ends at Country Home Center. Visit us at CountryHomeCenter.net.
Okay, we're back for hour number two. We go right to the phone. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to the Republican candidate for governor, Scott Milne, is joining us. Scott, good morning. We have a little bit of a difficulty with a phone connection here, so I don't know if we're going to be able to, how we'll do here, but we'll give it our best shot here. I'll try this again. Scott, good morning.
Hey, Mark, can you hear me?
That's great, right there. So tell me, how do you interpret the results yesterday? You had Dan Feliciano, the writing guy. Seems like he may have gotten even double digits. Is that a problem?
50%. So it's not a problem for me at all. I was really grateful for the support yesterday, but more importantly, for all the people that worked hard over the the 2 months or so that my campaign's been live. So I'm feeling good about Mark, and it might be time for a once every 52 years event in Vermont, which is taking out an incumbent governor. And in this case, I would argue very strongly we've got an incumbent governor who has not competently managed the people's money, has not properly led our state, and we'll be talking a lot about his record and some new ideas for changing things over the next 60 days.
Okay. So where do you go from here?
I'm going to Champlain Valley Fairgrounds for a agricultural luncheon as a guest of my good friend Roy Folsom. And then I've got a full day of staff meetings getting things scheduled out on the internal mechanics of our campaign, and looking forward to getting to work to get things done so we can have a very credible race against the incumbent.
Okay. Let me rephrase the question. What can we expect from you and your campaign here in the next month? I think there are many people, and I would put myself in this category, you feel as though it's been a little lackluster.
I think pundits like you, Mark, feeling like I'm lackluster, feeling like I'm not running a traditional campaign is resonating well with people. It's going to be part of our recipe for winning this race, so keep up the critique. I enjoy hearing it.
Okay, so part of this is that the media is part of the problem here?
No, I didn't say there was a problem. I think you're great, and I very much appreciate everything you've done for me and said about me.
Okay, so you feel it's a positive for somebody to say that your campaign's lackluster, that you can turn that against, you can use that as a positive?
I feel like my campaign is not lackluster. If you feel that it is lackluster, it's important for you to say that so folks can decide for themselves what.
Okay. I'm sorry we're losing you here. Can you give us some sort of an update? How are you doing on raising money? All right. I think we lost our connection with him. Okay. All right. All right, I guess we'll leave things there. Your thoughts, comments, welcome the rest of the way here this morning. You can reach us at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. A moment of your time for our friend Mike Roussel at the Tailor Shop in Stowe's Lower Village. If you need to get clothing repaired, adjusted inward or outward, or if your Fluffy or Fido has gotten into it, let Mike do the hard work for you. He has 50 years of experience. He can make those repairs happen in short time. And you can stop out and see him. He's in Stowe's Lower Village on the right-hand side of Route 100 is where you will find the tailor shop. And he's open on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Just opened his doors about 10 minutes ago. That's the tailor shop in Stowe's Lower Village. No White House report this week. Our crew is taking the week off. We'll take your calls the rest of the way this morning. Love to hear from you at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. We'll be back right after these important announcements.
Hi, this is Rich Harvey from Montpelier Pharmacy and Waterbury Pharmacy. We're seeing a lot of prescriptions for the treatment of Lyme disease caused by deer tick bites. Deer ticks spread Lyme disease by biting animals infected with Lyme disease and spreading the disease to people. About 80% of infected people get a bullseye-type red rash with flu-like symptoms, which can seriously affect your joints, nervous system, and heart over time. Illness usually occurs within a month of the bite. You can prevent tick bites by wearing light-color clothing for easier detection, wearing high boots, and avoiding tall grass or brush if possible. If you like being out in the woods as I do, use a repellent with DEET. If you get bit, remove the tick promptly with tweezers, grabbing it as close to the skin as possible and pulling slowly. Disinfect the area with rubbing alcohol, iodine, or soap and water. If you think that a tick has been attached for more than 36 hours, call your prescriber. If you have any questions, give us a call at Montpelier Pharmacy 223-4633 or Waterbury Pharmacy 244-7701. Locally owned and independent. Thank you.
Hi, Todd Stone from G Stone Motors.
And I'm Travis.
Hey, you know what I was thinking, Todd?
Oh boy, what now?
Well, look at this amazing lineup of Ford vehicles. Styling, fuel economy, power, they have it all.
Yeah, but GMC does too. They have great new styling, and the new Sierra is really classy.
Oh, really? Ford's been the number one selling truck for over 40 years. Top that.
The all-new GMC Sierra was just voted number one best buy. But I don't know why we're arguing about this.
Good question. We have both GMC and Ford here on our lot, and that's a huge time saver for our customers.
Customers can come and look at our huge inventory of new Fords, GMCs, and great lineup of pre-owned used vehicles.
Whether it's fuel economy, durability, or luxury that you're looking for, we have what you need.
And remember, we take anything in trade. View our full inventory online at gstonemotors.com, and don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Also, don't forget our sister store, G-Stone Commercial, for all of your truck, trailer, and equipment needs. Service, parts, sales, and rentals, they do it all.
G-Stone Motors, your hometown Ford and GMC dealer where they take anything in trade. Route 7 in Middlebury or online at gstonemotors.com.
Bobby is living the NASCAR fan dream. His driveway tailgate has it all. Parking for one RV, rabbit ear TV, and live entertainment. His grandma. But watching the race in Bobby's driveway, it's not the same. Nothing compares to Race Weekend Live at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Join us Saturday, September 20th for the UNOH 175, FWEB 100, and the Bond Auto Parts Act Invitational. Then Sunday for the Sylvania 300. For tickets, visit nhms.com/live.
Imagine if the people of Addison and Rutland counties could cut their heating bills in half. Think of the money they'd save and what it could mean for the local economy. At Vermont Gas, we're working to bring you that choice. Clean, affordable natural gas, just like we've been safely providing in Chittenden County for nearly 50 years. More choice and more economic opportunity for more Vermonters. Imagine that. Want to know more? Visit us online at addisonrutlandnaturalgas.com.
Okay, 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Oh, man, hate to have half an interview there when sort of had that, I thought kind of an interesting comment hanging out there on the table. I didn't quite, I'm not sure I totally understood his point there, but I'm guessing that by people like me criticizing his campaign that for not raising enough money and things like that, that somehow that's going to maybe create a climate that he's an underdog or something. I don't know. I guess I didn't quite understand the point there, but perhaps he can join us again and we'll flesh that out on another today or on another day. Okay. I'm just trying to point out what I see out there as being real. I'm not, I'm really not, it's not personal. I'm just commenting on what I see. And I, you know, with all due respect, I think raising $40,000 in a gubernatorial campaign at this point is lackluster. Sorry. So I head over to Bristol. Wendy, good morning. How's it going?
Hey, Mark. Good morning. How are you?
Just fabulous. How about you?
Doing well. I thought I'd call in because I could sense the dead air space lingering here. I'm so surprised. What was up with that? Was he on the road or something?
Yes, he was. He was.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a questionable tactic for a politician to have if they're going to be on the air with a prominent news show,
wait.
I mean, wouldn't he just, like, I'm on the road too, but I just pulled over to talk to you, you know, because I don't want to, like, have this connection lost.
Okay.
And I think, you know, that speaks volumes to me about his priorities here. I don't know.
Well, maybe I'll write you in.
Well, no,
in his defense, I asked him very late this morning if he would join us.
Okay.
I know he's got a bunch of other events that he's going to. There's a big event going up at the Champlain Valley Fair today. So, you know, I'm not gonna judge anything based on that. I asked him very late in the ballgame here. So don't hang that on him. Hang that on me.
All right. Well, if he calls back and he just cut me off here, but I thought I would just bring up something about, I heard the ad for Vermont Gas right before you came back on the air about lowering heating costs and all. And I just wanted to throw out another way that is a really great way to lower heating costs. I just got a heat pump installed in my house. Have you heard about these things?
What are you talking about?
It's a cold climate heat pump. It runs on electricity, and it basically has a condenser that gets heat out of the air through the moisture content in it and can heat your home and lower your fuel costs. So I use propane, for example, to heat my home. And this year, my pre-buy, I went for half the amount of fuel. Now, I'm hoping it'll, you know, I don't have any experience with this yet, but from the people who do, it's pretty much a guarantee that if you have a relatively well insulated and well air sealed home, you can lower your heating costs with these heat pumps, and the payback period's a couple years.
All right, and at the risk of sounding like a bigger idiot than I am, so how does this work? It sucks the heat out of the air. What does that mean?
Well, okay, so you're testing my scientific knowledge here. But basically, the way I understand it is there's moisture in air, right?
Right.
And that water vapor, when it's condensed and turns into a liquid, it releases heat.
Okay.
In that process. And that heat is used to heat the air. And these things are Green Mountain Power, VPIRG, fuel dealers who are, you know, realizing that fossil fuels are not going to be all the rage in the future. They're moving in this direction to install heat pumps as a way to diversify and solidify their business in the future.
Okay. Sounds like I got a little research to do here on this one.
I know. It's one of those things that I guess for years and years it's been around, but it hasn't been suitable for cold climates. And recently the technology has changed so that you can have cold climate heat pumps, and they actually work in Vermont.
Hmm.
And, you know, they're getting installed all over the place. And I just think that's a great way for people who want to lower their heating costs to look into it. You know, you can go to Efficiency Vermont's website and get information on it. But, you know, talk to your fuel dealer, too, because fuel dealers oftentimes will have information on this, because this is a direction some of them are moving in. The smart ones are moving in this direction.
And did you tell me that you got it for free?
No, I didn't get it for free.
What'd you have to pay for it?
So the cost of these is about $5,000, which sounds,
gosh.
It's a big chunk of change.
Okay.
Ouch is what I pay every year for heating fuel. I pay $3,000 for heating fuel.
Wow. All right. So you got half this year. All right. So
that is going to go down to not zero, but I'm going to have a relatively short payback period, because I'm hoping to at least have, if not lower, my heating fuel purchases. And, you know, over the course of a few years, that'll really add up. Plus, electricity, you know, in Vermont anyway, electricity is being generated in pretty low carbon fashion. You know, we've got a lot of Hydro Quebec and wind power and some solar coming in there. And anyway, there's, you know, switching over to electric is really a good thing environmentally, because of the potential for it to be a low carbon source of electricity.
Mm-hmm. How big is this thing?
It is about 40 inches long, and it gets mounted on the wall in your house. I have it mounted on a wall, an exterior wall, that is in my living room right by the stairs that go upstairs. And it's very quiet. It's also, get this, it also air conditions in the summer and dehumidifies.
All right.
So it's really one of those things that can help improve the comfort of your home tremendously. And it's just not very many people know about it. So that's
obviously
one of the reasons why I called.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the governor's race while I have you? Any thoughts?
Nope. No thoughts on the governor's race.
All right. Sticking with the heat pump this morning, huh?
Sticking with the heat pump, yep.
All right. Thanks for pulling over. I appreciate that.
All right. Talk to you later.
844-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Huh, there's at least one show idea right there. All right, let's head over to Williamstown. Rama, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, don't just vote the party line. It's independent Rama time. And that's, well, I guess just a reminder, there are those of us that choose to eschew the party label and in the big excitement of the primary here, that, you know, to remind people that there are quality individuals from the community that are on there on the ballots as independents.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we'll be there. I'm on there as Orange One representative, and I know there are others, so I'm looking forward to
that. Who else is running in that race?
That I'm aware of at this moment, it's Susan Hatch Davis, who is the incumbent, and Rodney Graham.
Okay.
It's three of us that I'm aware of. It's a two-member district, so, you know, I'm aiming to be one of the two top vote-getters, and I'm going to work with whoever else people decide to send down there.
Okay. And you're having those top two, like, trash each other so you can slide through?
No. You know, it's you can't do that. You can't. There was one really rude campaign that was run in this area, and that was over the civil unions, and that was about Marion Milne.
Yeah.
And beyond that is it just really, you get out here and people really, they're interested in your values. They're interested in you know, what you're going to go down and try to work on and how you relate to people in the community. You know, they're not interested in hearing what you think of somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Yep. Well, when you win, we'll have you on the Friday show.
Good deal. I'll be there.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. I was kidding about the trash in the top two people. All right. Moment of your time. Let me tell you about a fabulous business right here in our local area. Our friends at Jet Service Envelope. These people are fantastic. They really do fantastic work, and I would encourage you, if you have printing projects as part of your employment, part of your job, maybe you're not even the person that does them, casually suggest in a non-threatening way that they might want to use the services of Jet Service Envelope instead of doing it themselves. And what you might suggest to them is that there might be a higher and better use that they have for the company and the operation. Then you don't want to just say standing around the copy machine. That's probably going to be negative. But you could just maybe highlight the great things about Jet Service Envelopes, you know, sort of focus on the positive. They have free delivery after everything's done. They have really high-quality equipment. This is not your great-grandpa's printing operation here. Jeff Blow now running the family business. Four generations of the Blow family have been involved in this. So give them a call at 229-9335, 229-9335. They're on the web, jetservice-envelope.com, and they've recently combined their services with Acura Printing. Bigger, better, bolder than ever. Sue Mentor joins us on the program tomorrow. You may recall Sue, former state rep here locally, also does works for the state of Vermont and was the Irene Recovery Officer for a period of time. Hard to believe. Tomorrow, the third anniversary of Tropical Storm Irene. Wow. That was a fast 3 years, wasn't it? So she'll join us tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about resilience of communities. That'll be coming up tomorrow on the program. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. We'll take a short break. Breaking news story, the man that was missing in Mallet's Bay, they're reporting this morning, the Burlington Free Press is reporting this morning that they have recovered his body. So what was a real mystery here seems to at least partially more information on and perhaps even solved. So we'll tell you more about that as we proceed. 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Quick break, back after this.
Never been to a NASCAR race?
Trouble off, trouble board. Newman slams the wall.
Well, this is your chance. We're giving away tickets to the New Hampshire Motor Speedway and the Sylvania 300 on Sunday, September 21st.
Go.
In fact, we're giving away several pair of tickets to see the chase at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. All you have to do is sign up to win at one of these area businesses.
Cleveland Cedar Products, Cedar Siding Specialists, Route 15 Wolcott. Go to cedarguy.com. Pete Fecto's Riverview Garage, Route 15 East of Morrisville, where a man's word and a handshake still mean something. TriStar Motors, Route 15 East of Hardwick. Nobody sells for less. Nobody. And Northeast Farm Sales and Service, Route 5 Irishburg. Your Massey Ferguson, Honda, Bobcat, Husqvarna, and Chrome dealers.
Be sure to be listening Monday morning, September 15th, to see if you're a winner on your way to the New Hampshire Motor Speedway for the Sylvania 300, Sunday, September 21st. Thanks to your friends right here at Radio Vermont.
We are high performance, low pressure. Exciting news. Walker Volkswagen on the Barrie Montpelier Road is in the midst of an expansion and renovation project to serve you even better. We can't wait to show you the new results. But in the meantime, we need to make room by moving lots of new Volkswagens. All we hear are noisy hammers, power saws, and trucks backing up. What we really need to hear is sold, sold, sold. So we are announcing Walker Volkswagen's turbocharged sales event. Take advantage of this great opportunity to celebrate summer with a European-styled German engineered Volkswagen. Combine Walker's deeply discounted upfront pricing with a $1,000 reward card on all 2014 turbocharged Volkswagens. This includes the versatile 43-mile-per-gallon clean-burning TDI Sportwagon. Over 40 Sportwagons to choose from. All reasonable offers will be considered on our complete lineup of Volkswagens. Now is truly the best time to stop by, call, or click walkervt.com on the Barrie Montpelier Road. Sold!
LW Greenwoods will be closing at noon sharp on Friday, August the 29th. Effective September 2nd, Ron and Butch Greenwood have transferred ownership of the business to Champlain Valley Equipment with the locations in Middlebury, St. Albans, Derby, Berlin, and now East Randolph. Ron, Butch, and all the staff at LW Greenwood & Sons have been proud to supply quality brand-name equipment to rural Central Vermont families. They believe they've selected the best of the solutions available that will ensure their customers continue to have parts and service support for previous purchases from them. LW Greenwood say, "It's been our privilege to serve generations of loyal customers. Thank you for all the good years, strong friendships, and fond memories. We wish you all well in the future." LW Greenwoods, Route 14, East Randolph.
Looking for a cost-effective way to get your message and image before the public?
This is Brian at Always On Time Signs and Designs. We make attractive, well-designed signage in a variety of forms.
This is Rory with in-house sign design for everything from traditional business signs to vehicle lettering and even full vehicle wraps. Your image will be seen and remembered by thousands.
The variety we offer with fast turnaround is limited only by your imagination. Banners, in-store floor and window graphics, and even special event items like trade show tables.
Bring your ideas to us. Whatever your budget is, we can help you accomplish your marketing goals at Always On Time Signs and Designs.
Your order will be done on time, on budget, every time. Call us at 223-8948 or toll free from anywhere at 1-800-547-0808.
Always On Time Signs and Designs, 115 Industrial Lane, Berlin.
Again, we can be reached at 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808.
Announcement. After 125 years, Hooker's Furniture, Central Vermont's leading furniture retailer, is closing our Barrie location. Waterbury location to remain open. To accomplish our goal, we have launched a massive store closing sale. Over $1 million worth of quality brand name home furnishings must be sold within a matter of weeks. Everything must go. If you've been thinking about new furniture, now is the time to buy. Living rooms, bedrooms, dining rooms, sectionals, recliners, entertainment centers, accessories, mattresses, and more must be sold at drastic discounts up to 60% off store-wide. It's a complete wall-to-wall sell-off. Nothing held back. You can't afford to miss this opportunity of a lifetime to own quality home furnishings for every room in your home. Now is your chance to buy the furniture you've always wanted for pennies on the dollar. Don't wait. This massive furniture liquidation is going on now at Hooker's Furniture on the Barrie Montpelier Road in Barrie. Open 7 days a week. Free financing is available. Don't miss it.
244-1777, our local number, toll-free 877-291-8255. Here's the latest on that story, the missing man in Mallets Bay. Colchester police say, this according to the Free Press, Colchester police say they found a male body in Lake Champlain Wednesday morning about 7:45 in the area where they'd been looking. The body found near the International Sailing School on Lakeshore Drive. Body transported to the medical examiner's office, not yet been identified. Then they go on to talk about Brian Webb, 65, in Montpelier, is reported missing on Sunday. The boat and the boat's dinghy were both found empty, and police have been searching underwater and on land. So, awful story. Perhaps this might help the family at least find a little bit of closure here. Well, what a terrible story. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Gosh, you know, it just sort of reminds me here, too, that I always want to keep somebody else out there apprised of where you are and what you're doing. That's for sure. Even in the beautiful summertime that we have here. Let me take a moment of your time. Speaking of the beautiful summertime we have here, still a few days left, and we got a beautiful fall ahead of us here. Hate to say it, but it's true. But if you're looking for a really wonderful experience right here close to home, very much encourage you to head up to the Champlain Islands, one of our really beautiful spots here in this gorgeous state in which we all get to live. And Shore Acres is in North Harrow, Vermont, just right over the drawbridge there between Grand Isle and North Harrow. You can time that, you know, so that on the half hours when it goes up. And we encourage you to call Susan and Mike, make reservations, and then stop on up for a fabulous meal in their lakeside dining room with Chef Dan Rainville, one of the best out there. He really is a fantastic chef. Been there some 20 years now. So head on up there soon. You could also stay overnight. They have 23 rooms on the grounds. They're huge grounds. Many of them just right there down on the lake. And all of them with great views, and you're right there. You won't be needing any heat pump when you're up there. So stopping up and see Susan and Mike, and make it soon, and you can give them a call at 372-8722, 372-8722. Shore Acres Inn and Restaurant in beautiful North Harrow, Vermont, just a short drive, but another world away. Oh, my goodness, I think we got a lot of heat pump people here. Okay, all right, I'm already putting a memo in my head. We're going to get somebody on the show about this. So at the very least, I'll be up to speed with the rest of you. Let's head down to Randolph. Justin, how's it going this morning?
Good. Yourself?
Not too bad.
Trying to do a little bit of haying before we get some rain. But as long as it's somewhat debate time, I've seen a lot of candidates talking about green energy, and I think overall we all agree green energy is good. I think there's some unintended consequences that we face, especially with some of these solar farms. You know, there's not much thought, I think, going into siting these places.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you see some pretty good open land being consumed by these farms. And also with wind, you have some pretty big construction projects on top of mountains in order to get the wind there, and I'm sure if those were logging operations, these access roads that they're putting in would be questioned a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, overall, green energy is good. But I've called a couple candidates and had a question. We're thinking about putting solar on our sugar house. We use a lot of energy in the springtime, but don't use a lot during the summer, and we thought if we could generate obviously electricity and during the summer and then put it out through the net metering process.
Yeah.
And then use it back during sugaring season, it would make good economic sense for our business, which it does. But one of the questions I've been asking and I haven't been able to get an answer to is, the way I understand it, when you're allowed to net meter, you put that power out and you build up a credit, and then you use that credit up as you use your power back.
Yeah.
But what I've assumed, you are no longer contributing to either Green Mountain Power or Washington Electric or whoever your utility company is, income generation anymore. I mean, you're no longer paying an electric bill. And I'm sure there's a profit margin and also an expense margin built into the cost of power. So who's going to absorb? I mean, Green Mountain Power is not going to get rid of employees because, you know, everybody's gone solar. They still have to, the way net metering works, you're allowed to store essentially your power out on the grid.
Yeah.
And Green Mountain Power is still going to have to maintain that grid. And they're not going to, you know, let guys go or cut their pay. And I don't see their expenses going down because of solar. So my question really is, will we not see a rise in electric rates for those who are not putting solar in because they have to cover the maintenance fees that were once being shared by people that now have put solar in, if that makes any sense?
Totally makes sense, and you're completely correct. I mean, the people that are paying for that subsidy, if you want to call it that, are the other ratepayers. It's one of the reasons why, or it's actually the main reason why, I think it was Washington Electric had a cap on, all the utilities had caps on the amount of customers that could apply for and get that solar and get the net metering. They've risen the cap on it, but there have been some utilities that have been more, you know, been very worried about that cost shift. It's absolutely real, and you're absolutely correct. I mean, the theory is that, you know, it's sort of spread thin enough that, you know, it's not going to double my power if you use half of yours, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right. But the only thing that makes solar economical or business sensible for us is that we're allowed to net meter, because there's no way we could size a system to meet our demand when we use a lot of power in a short period of time. We'd have to have this huge solar panel only, you know, a couple months out of the year.
Plus,
we'd have to have this probably very expensive battery storage system to store that power.
Yep.
And so net metering is the only way it really makes sense. But I, you know, I would feel guilty of everybody else picking up my share of the maintenance costs. And I think, you know, an easy solution would be, you know, if you net meter, that you have to pay a certain amount per kilowatt to, you know, put your power out on the grid and then use it back.
Well, and there's also been talk about having net metering customers pay that service charge, because I think in some cases they haven't been because their credit's been good enough. And I think there's been an idea that there should be some sort of a minimum amount.
Right.
You know, let me throw this into the equation, though, too. And we'll get somebody in, because obviously, you know, I need to get somebody in about this heat pump stuff, and maybe we can get this question answered as well, too. But I think what we would likely hear from a Mary Powell or somebody at Green Mountain Power is that this is a better route to go because, A, customers want it, and, B, it's going to be a lot less expensive to go this way and add a couple of pennies here and there to people's bills than to build some big new generation project. They'd rather have you on a small scale and thousands of others generating power as opposed to, you know, building another McNeil plant or building a whatever.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I just think that eventually, if everybody did go solar, where's Green Mountain Power going to get the money to pay their workers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I mean, at some point, it would, you know, right now it's probably not a big deal. But also, I would hate to see, you know, my power bill goes to nothing, yet my neighbor's goes up, you know, 2%, because now they got to share in they got to take over my share of the expense.
Yeah, okay, but you've also, think about this, I mean, you've supplied a lot of power.
Yeah, great.
You know, I mean, your neighbor didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's got, you know, there's, man, it's got to factor in here somewhere.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right.
And I think we're a long way from everybody being on solar, you know. So, you know, I know enough about Green Mountain Power. I know they're trying to really evolve with the times here and not be stuck and dug in on just being a fossil fuel provider. You know, they want to be, I think, a sort of a, you know, a facilitator, if they can be, if anything.
Right. And solar really makes sense for us. And I know a couple other farms that have done it, and you know, it makes a lot of sense. I just, you know,
trying to play
the devil's advocate and be courteous to others that, you know, aren't able to put these systems in. You know, hopefully they don't see a huge increase in their cost, because benefiting. But
yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's why they put these caps on, and I think that's, you know, was part of the debate over whether or not you lift the caps or not. Is it going to cause too much of a... It's like, you know, medical stuff, too. You know, the cost shifts that are going on in that whole industry. Same thing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Thanks for your call. Right. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Sue Minter, who is the Irene Recovery Officer for quite some time. She's also done a lot of work in the transportation field. So we're going to talk a little bit about where, you know, where things stand here 3 years later. I'd love to get some of your input on this, too, tomorrow. Well, she'll join us coming up at 9:05. Let's head over to Barry. Jim, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I had a couple of comments about a call that you had last week and relating to the... It's a Ferguson shooting. But I just wanted to toss out there about the heat pumps. So just think of it as an air conditioner turned around. It puts heat out the back, and in the wintertime you flip it around and it puts heat out in the front. And the cold goes outside. But traditionally they always worked only in moderate climate because you're taking like 50-degree air and taking it down to 30, and you're extracting that heat and putting it into the building. But this year, Colin knew about some new technologies that apparently they're now working in colder climate. But you've got to cool air down to a certain level to get the heat out of it. But anyway, your caller last week, and I almost think it was Madeline Kuhn. I don't know if she was on the phone or not, but she sounded like her. She was talking about police officers... back in the day when they used to shoot and wound people, and why don't they do that anymore instead of, you know, killing them or whatever.
Yeah.
I know a number of police officers, very highly trained police officers, and to their defense, what they are trained in today is what they call shooting center of mass, and it's basically, it's a defensive posture. You pull out your firearm, you intend to win the battle, and that's what they're trained at. I don't necessarily agree with it, but in their defense, the idea of trying to shoot him in the air might, in the thinking today, that might get the police officer killed.
Right.
The other thing she said was there was a push to get better educated police officers, and where did that go? Well, the police officers that I know today, the vast majority of them are college educated. And so it really is something that the education is a big factor today. However, what I was really going to comment on was the militarization of it, and it's the educated police officers that I think actually have a bigger issue with this. You had a caller probably two months ago that said something that really resonated with me. He said back in 72, or before 72, I believe 72 was the year, he said there was a change from, I forget what he called it, but it was service-oriented police officers to boot camp mentality police officers. And in my lifetime, I witnessed that, and I totally agree with them. We seem to have gone from, you know, police officers who were dressed in almost a formal double-breasted uniform to battle fatigues, or BDUs, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that, and that has kind of gone part and parcel with this very educated, college-educated police officer. So I guess my comment on that whole thing is, I would like it to be a recognition of that, and I was going to try to get through to the congressman just to plant this seed, but community policing is a buzzword in the last 4 or 5 years, but the idea of police officers being part of the community and servants as opposed to being ready to do battle, I don't deny that their job is extremely difficult. I would not want to be in that position. But I think they have to have a facade anyway of we're on your side. We're on there's not a battle there. There's a criminal that they're defending us against. But in their normal mode of operandi, it's a community interaction with an equal, with a servant, so forth. But anyway, I just leave it at that. And those are the observations that I've made on that.
Well, just really quickly, can I just, before you go here, two things. That was not Madeline Kuhn.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident of that. And number two, I remember the caller, and I don't disagree. They did sound a little bit like her, but it was not, I can tell you, it was not her.
Okay.
The other thing I was going to say, 72 isn't, to me, the demarcation point. I really think it's 9/11. I mean, the amount of equipment that's gone out after 9/11 is what's been really amazing.
Well, I don't disagree with 9/11 having a big transition from non-military equipment to military equipment. But what I'm talking about is in my lifetime, pre-9/11, and a lot of it was pre-9/11 when I worked in public safety and knew a lot of police officers. It was this transition to SWAT teams. It was when the SWAT team mentality kind of started. And I'm not saying that there isn't a place for SWAT teams, but mm-hmm. it's really this discussion that they had the congressman had, Peter Welch, about how Vermont did it. They basically kept the high firepower, if you want to call it that, you know, in the background. Douglas and Sleeper recognized that we don't want to necessarily have a military-looking police force. But what we already have is a military mentality in the police force. I'm thinking back to when I was a kid. These weren't educated cops, and sometimes their tactics were a little on the rough side. But the ones that I knew in the town growing up were sort of fatherly images. You know, they were, and I'm not suggesting this is appropriate, but there was times I remember they'd give someone a backhand. But it was sort of in this whole role of, parents got together with the police and you straightened out a kid that was out of line. And I'm not saying we need to go back to that era.
Yeah.
But their mentality was not, military Rambo. It was like, young man, you didn't do right, you go up behind the shed. Just saying, it was a very different perspective. It was a parental type of thing. And I'm not sure I'm explaining that very well at all. But I don't encourage or condone that type of police activity. But the police officers I knew as kids were all parents of all the kids I went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like they'd kick you in the butt if you were out of line. But they called you by name, and they, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that SWAT team era, when that came in, I think that's what this person, I don't know if you remember the call or not, but he identified, and he was a police officer.
Yeah.
The person who called was a retired police officer. And for some reason, he identified 72, which was just about the time that I was becoming aware of their different perspectives.
Oh, it was right around the time that stupid TV show. Remember that SWAT TV show? Every week they'd have another, God, and it always ended badly, believe me.
Yeah, I don't particularly remember the exact show, but I certainly remember it was when they started, looking like military, not the weapons. I'm talking about their appearance, the BDU, the blouse pants, the T-shirts versus the dress uniform. When I was a kid, the cops on my town, Main Street, wore double-breasted, brass button, summer-winter uniform, different weights, with a tie. And, do I think that plays a big role in how they think? I don't know. But I think if you're wearing boots and battle fatigues, you've got a different mindset.
Absolutely. I'm going to interrupt you, but thank you for your call.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. All right. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. Steve, Ralph, we'll get to your calls right after this.
WDEV and McKenzie Country Classics are having a Welcome to Summer contest every Friday. Listen to Artie Levine's Getaway between 2 and 4 p.m. Call the WDEV contest line at 244-1777 when you hear the McKenzie Country Classics theme song.
Old John McKenzie was a dedicated man, made the best pork sausage in all the land. John told his boys, both clear and loud, carry on the name and do me proud.
The prize is the ultimate grilling experience to each of the following. A package of McKenzie Natural Casing Franks, a package of all beef franks, McKenzie grilling kielbasa, McKenzie sweet Italian sausages, alfresco smoked and Dooley chicken sausage, and chipotle chorizo chicken sausage.
Listen every Friday during Artie Levine's afternoon getaway for McKenzie's theme and be the third caller on the WDEV contest line at 244-1777.
Old John McKenzie was a dedicated man, made the best pork sausage in all the land. John told his boys, both clear and loud, carry on the name and do me proud.
From WDEV and McKenzie Country Classics.
Thinking about doing some projects on your home?
A home improvement loan from Granite Hills Credit Union is the answer. It's quick and easy. Borrow up to $10,000 with this personal loan at a great fixed low rate. No appraisal or title search required. Remodel your kitchen, replace your roof, or add a room. You decide. Looking to do a larger project? We have home equity loans with new lower rates or a line of credit that allows the flexibility of check writing. Give us a call, stop in, or visit us at granitehills.org to find out how you can make your remodeling dreams come true.
Granite Hills Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by the NCUA.
Do you hear it?
Capital Ground.
Harmony.
Capital Grounds.
Ooh. Capital Grounds. It's a good place to connect. There's a sense of harmony. It makes me feel good when I see people come in and realize that we live in a real community. We're here for you, and you're here for us. It's connected. It's all connected. We've got great coffee. We have coffee from all over the world, Bali, Sumatra, Ethiopian. We have Central and South American coffees, some of the best in the world. We roast those up at Capital Grounds. Most of the coffees we offer are organic, and many of them are fair trade as well. We're trying to keep those farmers in business. It's got to be sustainable. From their community to ours, that's how you make the world go round.
Capital Grounds.
27th State Street, downtown Montpelier. I love this place.
All smiles, all smiles.
All smiles, family dental.
All smiles, all smiles.
All smiles, family dental.
All smiles, all smiles.
Family dental center. LiveDTSmiles.com.
The condition of your teeth impacts your entire health. All Smiles Family Dental Center features an artisan quality denture lab on the Barrie Montpelier Road. Now you don't have to travel for affordable dentures. Purchase our comfortable and natural appearing dentures within 90 days and we'll pay for your oral exam and digital x-rays. Please don't hesitate to learn more or to arrange a free initial consultation. Call 476-8700. That's 476-8700. Or visit MyVTSmiles.com. All Smiles on the Barrie Montpelier your road. Are you all smiles?
All smiles, all smiles.
All smiles, family dental.
All smiles, all smiles.
All smiles, family dental.
All smiles, all smiles.
MyVTSmiles.com.
I love Hunger Mountain Co-op because it belongs to all of us members and helps keep our dollars and diet close to home. I'm Numa Haas from Montpelier, Vermont, and I've been a member owner of Hunger Mountain Co-op since the 80s.
Moment of your time for our friends right down the road at Red Hen Cafe and Bakery, right off of Interstate 89, exit 9 in Middlesex. What a great place to go for lunch. What a great place to stop in for lunch and to grab and go. You can also stop there first thing in the morning at 7 a.m., 8 on Sundays. Pick up some fabulous tasty treats. Might make a friend out of an enemy at work if you brought some of those in. Not guaranteed. You know, I'm not going to guarantee you. Might take a couple of Danish to get to that curmudgeon. But it won't hurt, let's put it that way. So stopping down to see our friends at work there, the really nice crew, and, of course, the fabulous owners there, too. So stopping down, make it soon, Red Hen Cafe and Bakery. It's right off of Interstate 89, exit 9 in Middlesex. A gorgeous little cafe, sunny even on a dark day. Somehow they do that. It's amazing. Nice collection of Vermont beers. Nice collection of wines there, too. And they also have a nice selection of a bunch of other things, too. They have now three different kinds of the ice cream sandwich whoopie pie. I'm getting a little partial to the one with the coffee ice cream in it, but, you know, maybe that's my coffee problem. Rearing its ugly head again. So make it a Red Hen Cafe and Bakery right off of Interstate 89. That's exit 9 in Middlesex. Let's head up to Burlington. Ralph, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Mark. Good to talk to you.
You too. What's going on?
Well, I was calling about the solar and wind call, which I found very interesting. The guy's a really good, concerned guy that called in, that farm boy, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, The value of that, the capital cost, is higher when you put in wind and solar, because you still have to have all the power available when there is no wind and there is no solar.
Right.
So the capital costs to the power companies are just the same, or they're going to continue to increase. And the capital cost for the solar and the wind is extraneous, but there is that extra cost. So the real
What do you mean the capital cost is going to go up for the utility? What do you mean by that?
Well, they have to continue to have enough capacity to supply all the power that they need when there's no solar and there's no wind power. So any money spent on wind power and solar is an extraneous capital cost, which all has to be factored in.
Okay, but they don't have to build power plants here in Vermont in order to satisfy that capacity. You can buy power out on the market.
Well, I know, but they have to build power plants someplace in New England or in the Northeast Grid.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Vermont's not an island when it comes to power. And if you pollute with a power plant in New Jersey or New Hampshire or Maine to supply Vermont power, it still has the same effect in the atmosphere.
All right, that's fair.
So I think the real thing is on conservation. Conservation is really where it's at. And I think, you know, the new electric light bulbs, insulating houses in the ski business, these new super efficient snowmaking guns that they're using.
Yep.
The answer really, in my mind, it has to be in the conservation side.
Yep.
Because there is the capital cost. When that farmer was talking about passing that cost along, the cost for all those generating stations, no matter what they are, whether they're wood, coal, gas, good power sources or bad, has to be accounted for and is very, very real.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So everybody's paying more power. Everybody's paying more when there's solar and wind power.
All right.
From a capital point of view.
All right. I guess I understand the logic of what you're saying.
Okay, that's my only point. Everybody forgets about, they think as if the grid is just some magic place where this power is stored. It's not. It's used that instant.
Yeah.
So they have to close the power plant, in effect, if there was enough people on solar for a while. They have to shut down a power facility and then put it online entirely when the sun goes down. I mean, you know, it's amazing how the electric companies do it, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
that's the point.
All right.
Everybody forgets the capital cost and that's not really saved.
Okay.
But it does reduce the use of oil and gas-fired plants when the solar's online. That's my point.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Welcome, buddy.
Thank you very much. Let's head over to Wilk at Steve. Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning.
Mark? Yes, Mark. Steve Barry.
Good morning, Steve.
Hello. Do you hear me?
I do, loud and clear.
Okay. You do remember me, Steve Barry?
I do. I do.
All right.
Modern day Mark Twain.
Yes.
So things didn't go according to plan yesterday in the primary for you.
Well, that's okay. I for what I had for the very minimal amount of dollars, like say $200, I went up against Scott Milne that had at least 20 and wound up with 40. But I think if I was on the same playing field as him, I think the numbers would have been reversed. And also, I have been holding second place all the way through, and it was kind of, it's just kind of reluctant how the press treats me, even you, because when you made the statement to Scott about Dan Feliciano coming in as double digits, and what are you going to do? Is that a problem to you? And disregarding me altogether.
See, that's the kind of problems that I've had from the beginning.
Well, let me explain to you why I asked that question. Dan Feliciano is going to continue to be on the ballot as a Libertarian candidate, so that what he got yesterday in the primary, I felt, was an important number to be indicative of what sort of support he might get in the general election. You're out. So, no disrespect was intended.
Okay, I got that. All right.
I mean, honest to God.
What I did was I made my point to a lot of people, and I feel good about it. And I just wanted to make that statement.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it, Steve.
Okay.
Let me take a call from Barry before we wrap up here. Mike, good morning.
Hi, Mark. I wanted to add a little bit to the net metering discussion. I know for individuals, I read the legislation, and for most, I don't know if this is the case for agriculture and certainly not for industrial, because they're owned by the power companies. But when you net meter, you lose your credit at the end of the year. So for hypothetical reasons, if you generated 5,000 kilowatts and only used 2,000, the power company has already sold that 3,000 kilowatts, and they get it for nothing. So that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's going to be some offset there, obviously, because, you know, maybe the majority of private solar and small wind projects, homes and farms possibly, aren't generating more than they use, but there may be some, in the case of your caller, where he wanted to generate electricity for his sugaring operation.
Yeah.
Well, if he generates electricity for 9 months between March and December, he may lose that credit if his farm or home doesn't use it.
Yeah, okay.
And he started zero in January. So people, when they're considering net metering, they really need to read the legislation.
All right, thanks. I got to interrupt. Thanks for your call. That's going to wrap things up for today. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush and the flagship AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. News coming your way next.
AP Radio News.